You're listening to Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle, a podcast on leadership, creativity, and building great churches. You can find Kelly online at kellystickle.com.
Hi, Victory Nation. Welcome to Inside My Victory, a podcast about the church, leadership, and creativity. I'm Pastor Gene.
And I'm Pastor Kelly, and you can follow along with the notes we provided for you at my website, kellystickle.com.
And if you have any questions that you'd like us to answer, any subject matter you would like us to discuss, please email us at leadership@myvictory.ca.
Yeah, please take advantage of this. If you're a church leader or pastor and you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, please email us your question, and we will love to take it on. You can email us again at leadership@myvictory.ca.
Yes, we would. How are you, Pastor Kelly?
I'm doing great.
It's been a busy time.
It's been a busy time. We just spent the last week, or a couple of weeks ago, we went to an amazing conference
yes.
in Red Deer,
yes.
hosted by Home Church and my friends Jake and Mullen. And it was team church one day. It was a conference from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., which
it
I appreciated.
Powerful. It was so good.
But it was directly linked or directly targeted to the church and to the church teams. And it was led by Pastor Kevin Gerald and the team church crew out of Champion Center in Tacoma, Washington. And it was awesome.
It was so good. You know, what I really loved about it is that it was on one subject matter. Rather than having a variety of speakers, they would speak about different things. He was really focused. It kept us focused. And it was all Pastor Kevin talking about his book, you know, Proving Ground.
Great
which
book.
Is what we want to discuss today.
Yeah, that's a fantastic book. And again, if you haven't got this book yet, I'd highly recommend that you get Proving Ground, The Proving Ground by Pastor Kevin Gerald. And it is available on Amazon or wherever you can get books. And I'd highly recommend it for every year. I bought a copy for each one of my kids, brought it home because it's about 9 tests that all of us go through
yes.
in life at
over
some point.
Over and over and over.
Over and over again. And as particularly us as leaders, we go through these tests. Over and over and over
yes,
again.
Yes, we do. Sometimes we pass them,
sometimes we don't. But it's a great book because he talks about the purpose of testing is to prove the product,
yes.
which is great. I mean, you think about that and go, I'm thankful that they test airplanes before we get on them.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful that they test the pilots before we let them
yes.
fly them. You know, or they everything that we have has to go through a proving ground before it is released to the public and to be used. And so the purpose of testing is to prove a product. The purpose of a test there's resistance, there's going to be an opportunity. You know, James says that in James 1, that's going to be, that's key. And then testing precedes promotion. So when we were in school, before we graduated and got promoted to the next grade, we had to go through a series of tests and pass those tests in order to be promoted to the next level. And that doesn't stop when we're done school.
I think sometimes we think we're just being tempted.
Yeah, it's true.
Can I read that scripture?
Yeah, read that. It's
amazing. James chapter 1, verses 2-4, it's from the Message Bible, and it really is cool. It says this, consider a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides.
I don't like that part. I mean, we're supposed to consider it a gift when a challenge comes, but...
Well, we don't want the gift.
Yeah.
You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors.
So good.
Yes. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way.
So good.
Yuck. I thought that was... You know, of all the tests, that one is the one I think so many people end up hanging out with and not passing.
The offense test. Yeah.
Yes, the offense
yeah,
test.
Yeah, the offense test is one that Pastor Kevin specifically taught on. And I thought, you know, read it in the book and it was good. It was one that stands out for sure. But
yeah.
I thought when he taught it, it came alive again to a whole new area, in particular to how it impacts us
yes.
as leaders
yes.
and on our teams and in churches and how easily we get trapped into offense. And it seems like today that mm-hmm. everyone is offended. We're in the middle of an election here. And so it seems like everybody's got reason to be offended with one another. I read a Facebook quote today from a friend who said, "Hey, the election's almost over. Can we all go back to being friends now?" I thought that was awesome. But it seems like everybody is so easily offended. And so I thought it was very appropriate that he talks about the offenses.
And hard to say, okay, the offense is over. You know, and let's get back to being friends and getting back into what our purpose is. Those five things that he mentioned that were the reasons not to be offended, I think those were powerful.
Yeah, the five reasons he gave for not being offended is, number one, it's exhausting.
It is.
And it really is. Offense is exhausting.
It like captures your time. It just takes everything.
It takes your energy. It takes your energy. It takes your joy. It steals. I mean, you know, Nehemiah said that joy is strength. And if there's nothing will suck the joy out of your life like an offense, and that will steal your strength, will steal your joy.
It sucks the air right out of the room.
It does.
When people are offended and you know it and they're in the room. And you know they're offended, but you have to move on. And they're not over it, so yeah.
Yeah, so when he brought up that point, it's exhausting. Then you start to think, okay, well, am I exhausted? Am I tired? Is there somewhere in a particular area where I feel worn out or tired? And is the root of that exhaustion actually an offense?
He dug into this in a way that I think, I wish we had heard this years and years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we like to talk about it because sometimes there's still something kind of hanging on that we just kind of shoved out of the way.
That's so true.
Number two, it was distracting.
Yeah, it's distracting. And it really is. An offense will distract you. It'll take you off mission. It'll get you focused on the nitty-gritty or the nitpicky offense, whatever it might be, or the disappointment, or somewhere where someone failed to meet an expectation, or however, whatever is causing that offense, it'll distract. And an offense, if it's contagious, so if it comes onto a team or comes into a church, it'll distract an entire team or an entire church from a mission, and it will become battles over silly things. Which, I mean, if we were to look back in church history. The reason why we have so many denominations is because I think
someone
got offended and distracted from the mission to preach Jesus and got offended and distracted over
and sometimes even maybe clarifying our vision sometimes is to kind of deal with that idea of offense or not agreeing with whatever, and so we'll fix that, you know, kind of thing. Gosh, there's so much in that whole distracting thing. I think a lot of times, Kelly. I know that when I've been offended, only the one or two times in my life, I would isolate myself.
Right.
You know, so I would allow that to pull me away.
Right. Absolutely. It does. You isolate, you pull back, it distracts you again from the bonding of a team and the needing of others to carry on. And it does take us off mission for sure. And the third thing that he brought up is it creates collateral damage.
Yes.
An offense will create collateral damage. On a team, this is so true. I mean, it's amazing how easy it is to pick up someone else's offense. I don't know if you noticed that. But
you know, that's the one thing that Joanne and I decided years ago, is if she was offended by anything, I would not take up that offense. Because if I did, I couldn't see clear enough to help her.
Right.
We made that agreement years and years ago. That has been so beneficial because that collateral damage is, oh my gosh.
But if you're not guarding against that, I mean, it's very wise that you and your wife guarded against that and made that determination. Because if you don't guard against that, it is so easy to pick up another's offense or somebody else's offense in the church or somebody else's offense on the team or somebody else has somebody else is disappointed in some way and they tell you and all of a sudden now you're more offended than they are over that situation.
It creates like tribes of people that are thinking this way and the other way. And it's like walking into a room, you're like walking on eggshells because you're afraid now I'm going to make it worse, you know, instead of just dealing with it.
Well, it's what Pastor Kevin used as an analogy when he was teaching this. He talked about don't drink the poison. He had a glass of green something and
he did.
It looked disgusting, but he says if you are offended, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And I thought that was really good. But then he says you choose to drink it. And in an offense, he says everyone's gonna feel an offense. You're gonna feel Jesus said that in Matthew 24. He says and then many will be offended. So he knew that offense is going to come, or that the opportunity for right. all of us to feel offended is going to be there.
But what do you do with that feeling? What should you do with that feeling?
What do you do with that feeling is the stage two of an offense, is you can choose to live with it or to not live offended. And that becomes the choice. The feeling you're not going to be able to fight, but there is a choice that you can either live with this offense mm-hmm. or not live with this offense.
And, like any other feeling, you don't have to live by your feelings.
No, you don't have to live by your feelings. And he, I like the statement he made, and he says, it is possible to live unoffendable. And, you know, when you hear that, you're thinking, well, how? I don't know anybody that's ever lived unoffendable. But he said it is possible because the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 165, he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I mean, that just that statement, nothing shall offend them, means that it is possible to actually live yeah. offended. And not it's not possible to live without the feeling of offense, but it is possible to live and to choose to not live offended. Because,
you know, I think I want to say this too, that when I'm offended and you're offended, if I take up your offense, then someone else is going to be offended, not just by you.
Yeah.
They'll be offended by me too.
Yes.
So all of a sudden we create this competition almost.
Yes.
And it divides the whole group.
Well, and that leads us to the fourth reason that Pastor Kevin said to not be offended is you will attract other offended people into your life.
Yes.
Right? And have you ever noticed that some people that get offended, they all of a sudden have these little huddles and they seem to attract everybody that is offended as well. And it seems, I don't know, they don't know. They're not mm-hmm. shouting, waving a sign saying, I'm offended, come, you know, join my tribe. But it just seems like everybody just attracts automatically to others who have an offense.
You know, the thing I used to teach my students at the tech college was when you get a new job, don't hang out with anyone. Just watch and listen.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee the people that are already offended at that place of work, whether it's ministry or not, they will seek out that new person to see if they can get them on their side.
Right.
And you'll get sucked into that without even realizing what's happening.
So true.
Got to be really careful. I think that's, you definitely attract other offended people.
Yeah. And then that leads to the fifth point that he said is that healthy people will start to avoid you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you'll attract other hurting of other offended people, other people that have drank the poison.
Mm-hmm.
You'll attract that to you, but then you're also at the same time going to repel healthy people, and healthy people will start to avoid you, which is not a healthy
thing.
And
you cut yourself completely off of those who could really help you.
Yeah, it's such a powerful teaching. I think, again, for each leader out there, for each pastor out there, you need to read through the offense test or just pay attention to these things and ask yourself, okay, there's five reasons not to be offended. It's exhausting. It's distracting. It creates collateral damage. You attract other offended people into your life. Healthy people will start to avoid you. It is very, very important to live unoffendable. And especially in our churches and in our teams. And if you're a team member and your leader has to worry about offending you, you're a danger to the team. That's a very big thing. And you need to, you know, to ask, I think, as us as pastors and leaders, we need to ask our teams, who are you afraid of hurting?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's usually somebody who is very offendable. And that is not going to be someone that is going to be a benefit to the team.
And you're
going to
reproduce yourself. So if you act that way and you are that way, then the rest of your team is going to be the same way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as a church, we can't afford to live offended because we can't afford to be distracted. We can't afford to get off mission because we're the hope of the world, and we need to stay focused on that mission to reach every available person.
At every available time.
By every available means.
With the gospel of Jesus Christ.
By creating churches.
Unchurched people.
Love to your team.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle. Kelly would like to answer your specific questions about church, leadership, and creativity in an upcoming podcast. You can send your questions to leadership@myvictory.ca. We are excited to announce that Kelly's new book, Minecraft, is set to be released in the new year of 2019. To reserve your copy, continue to follow this podcast and visit Kelly's website for more information. If you've been enjoying this podcast, a simple thing you can do is rate it, review it, and share it. It's a great way for you to help us equip more and more people who will build great soul-winning churches. Thank you again for joining us on the Inside My Victory podcast.